Blog Talk Radio.
Today we are back again. This is Friday night, 8 o'clock in the evening, and I'm here, your host, Marlon Ranger. This is a sports live, and of course, I have my boy, Mr. Lumatic, come in anytime soon. Now, it's been a while that we've actually stepped in and had a conversation. Actually, it was Monday. A lot of things going on in the sports world, and of course, I'm here to bring it to you. Now, the biggest topic, or one of the few topics that I've been seeing as been going around the league, is Aldon Smith. Once again, getting accused of a DUI situation, and they had to go ahead and let him go. What do you say in this particular circumstance? And I don't even know how to even assess it, because this comes down to having multiple chances, multiple opportunities, and then not taking advantage of the blessings that you get. And this is the thing. You know, we had an issue where – we had a videotape, and of course, Lou is just chiming in right now. How you doing, sir? Can't hear you if you're there. Something's hello, going hello. On with your voice. Okay, there it is. There you go.
This crap technology.
It happens to the best of us, my man. Of course, this is Lou Maddox stepping in, and Lou, I started off the show getting into the situation, talking about Aldon Smith for the San Francisco 49ers, the big-time defensive end, defensive interior. Had to let him go, got caught up in the DUI once again. And obviously, you know, you can only give people so many chances. And then after that, you know, you have to somewhat teach them, give them an opportunity to get themselves together, because you know, while you're playing on a certain level, or whether in any kind of profession, you can't get caught up in these kind of scenarios. You can't get caught up in these kind of situations as to where you have to face somebody else, and not face somebody else on a basis, and then go about your life potentially harming others, because that's what drunk drivers potentially do. You know, you're not sane, and you don't have all your senses together. Your reaction time gets slow. You hit somebody, then somebody dies. So. You know, this is his second time or second situation, and you know he obviously has a problem, and they just that's why they released him. Is it justified? I think so. I mean, what do you think about it?
Yep, it's just like he said. He gives second chances, but you can't give a third chance, especially when it's about the same exact situation again. Like, it's another one of those situations where these athletes think that they will be forgiven no matter what they do. Well, I messed up once. Well, maybe I could do the same thing again and I'll get away with it the second time. Well, all of that is not going to work. And it's cutting out more and more, you know, with these professional leagues. You people need to wise up. You're going to lose everything if you don't do things the right way. You're not an exception to nothing.
And as I'm finding out more details about it, it's showing that it was a hit and run. And then it was a DUI and vandalism. I mean, he totally didn't really think about what he was doing, obviously, because had he thought about what he was doing, I don't think he'd be in this kind of predicament or situation. So it doesn't bode well. It doesn't look good. It's a black eye for him in his career. And they better wise up. You know, there's another guy that basically got caught up in domestic violence. You remember that guy? You know what I mean? Was on every network. It was on every channel. People was chiming in to see, you know, what was going on, what was happening. And basically that guy has not returned back into the NFL league. We know that guy. And if you know or have been under a rock over the past year and a half, you would know that I'm talking about a young man by the name of Ray Rice.
Yep.
Ray Rice, your name Rice, you know, just got caught up in a bad circumstance and situation where he lost his cool, lost his temper. And what ended up happening? Yeah, that's what ended up happening. He ended up losing his situation. Got cut. Him and the owner basically didn't see eye to eye because, you know, he felt the ownership lied about him giving his testimony. He should have kept his mouth closed and just went along, right? Because now, as it looks and as it ends up, it's a loss. And basically, there's no repairing or coming back from it. He has to figure out a way to get on the roster, and it's like nobody's giving him an opportunity. Sometimes it can only be one chance. Okay? Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes, you know, depending on the circumstance or the situation, that's all you're dealt. And we have to deal with that. You know, that's what these NFL and these professional athletes have to learn. Sometimes you only get one chance.
Yep.
Much less two. But you know what I know? See, the greatest hypocrisy is this, Luke. The better you are, the better opportunity. Because you look at this guy's situation, man, DUI on suspicion, arrested on suspicion of DUI again and marijuana possession, charged with three felonies, illegal possession, and an assault weapon. And then here it is again. He made a false bomb threat at LA International. Then here we go again. You know, it's just never ending. He had multiple chances. And the only reason why he had multiple chances was because he was that good. And most people, even when they are that good, don't get those kind of situations and chances. Like, you know, it's kind of finding it hard that Greg Hardy just gets a suspension, and he basically did the same thing Ray Rice did, even worse, more likely. It just wasn't caught on video. See, sometimes, like I said, circumstance dictates what happens to you. Sometimes people, when they're able to see a visual or get a visual and then chime in and to offer that, hey, you know, you were seen by millions of people. That hurts. And then now you're held accountable due to that. So people ought to really get a good or a clear understanding that they can't really move or make certain moves without catching some kind of setback. Because that's what will happen. A setback will occur, and then they obviously will not recover. And, you know, that's the laws of nature, man. You cannot do certain things without expecting there to be some kind of setback. And that's obviously, that was one. Oh,
yep.
I mean, it's sad to say, but, you know, hey, bro, you know, You got to put on your thinking caps. When you're a professional athlete, this is what happens. You know? And you know, that's pretty much it. I don't even need to go so much into that because that's typically what's going on. Also, leading up, you know, as we go ahead and transition, you know, it was a situation on First Take where Jim Kelly made, you know, got on the network and he pretty much was saying, hey, you know, I think that Tom Brady's pretty much guilty. Why? Because when somebody accuses you, you don't sit there and be silent. And you know what? I agree with him. Let me tell you something. The people that are the most confident or should be are the ones that are telling the truth. Right? If somebody accused you of something, Lou, would you be there shaking in your knees, or would you be evasive with the answer to your question? I don't think so. Why? Because you would know that you were telling the truth, and that's the real basis of the whole scenario and situation. Everybody knows that if you're there, you don't answer questions directly, you're not complying with the investigation, you know, obviously it's going to look bad and it's going to cause you to be a suspect. And that's basically what happened with Tom Brady. He's not being convicted necessarily for what they could prove. He's being convicted because he wasn't complying with the investigation. He sat there and he did not, you know, answer the correct questions, or he was not forthcoming with some of the things that he knew. He basically withheld his phone information while it was there. Let me tell you something. This is me. And, you know, Jim Kelly brought up a pretty good point, Lou, is that, like, if somebody comes to me, listen, if I'm telling the truth, somebody comes to me and says, hey, man, you know, you ain't lying. And it can't be just anybody. I'm saying if it's an investigator, if it's a federal agent, a federal officer, listen, man, I'm just give you the phone here. Can't take it away with you, you know what I mean? But here, look, just look for him. Here it is. Here's the text. Here's whatever. See, if I don't have nothing to lose, I don't care. Because I know I'm telling the truth. But see, it's the times when you're not telling the truth. See, when it's an actual something going on, or you trying to protect somebody, or somebody's caught up in a mix that you don't want to expose, or maybe you don't want us in the mix and you don't want to expose yourself. Basically what happened. And you know, I listen, Skip Bayless is one of these people. And listen, I like both him and Stephen A. Favorite personalities on TV. But see, there's one thing about Skip that kind of irks me sometimes, because it's like when he is loyal to something or when he likes something, he basically, it's like he turns blind. He himself can't see in front of his face, right? It's as if he was watching a magic hat or a magic act, and they just pulled a wool right over his eyes, and he wouldn't know what to do. And it's ridiculous. It's like, come on, man. I mean, Lou, nobody's stupid here. We you know, we're in our 30s, upper 30s, and it's like, listen, it doesn't really take a genius to figure out that you knew something, guy. You knew it. You're guilty of something. And they figured it out. Wow, how surprising that is. And they're punishing you because you knew. Now, you could have had opportunity to come clean, and you could have had opportunity to just say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and just admit to it. Listen, I knew something. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I did know something, so I'm guilty of that. You reduce it. You would have got a reduction, would have got two games, and life would have went on, right? Yeah. Nah, but this best you go. Pride and ego, man. People hold on to it, you know, like it's, you know, their last will or their last dollar in their pocket. They'll go ahead and sacrifice all things for the sake of their own pride and for the sake of their own machismo. You know what I mean? That whole sense of integrity that they, or their image, I should say, that they want everybody else to have. And it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And we see it time in and time again. And he basically has tarnished himself, and he got suspended. And really, I mean, there'll be those who support him, like Skip Bayless, who want to believe what he's saying is true, but really know in their heart that it's not. Yeah, that's the only one. Mm-hmm. That's the only one. So I tell you, you know, well, yeah, I mean, Lou, I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, you messed up an opportunity to come clean with something or just admit it to something, and we wouldn't even be talking about this now.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. You know, I tell you, yeah, it's nothing more for me.
I mean, look back at other players like Jerry Rice and, you know, all these other players. They, even though that's after they're done playing, but even some of the current players, they say, yeah, like, you know, I do this to my uniform. I wear these type of gloves when I shouldn't have. And, you know, that's it. They'll get like a little slap on the hand or whatever, but, and that'll be it. And we stop talking about it after like a few weeks or something. This guy fails to do it. He keeps saying nothing happened. I had no part of it. And look at the situation in now.
Yeah. And that's the truth, you know. You can't, you know, How would I put it? You can't substitute good sense for arrogance. You can't. They're different. You know, arrogance, you're caught up in your own self. you know, you think that you can get over, and, you know, good judgment is actually making the right decision or the best decision. And he took, you know, the arrogant situation and did it that way and ended up losing. So, yeah, you know, I'm not going to even stress this out because it's ridiculous to me. I mean, he knew something was up. He knew somebody had to do something with it. And when he had an opportunity to come out with Jim Gray and other people in the media to say the truth, he didn't do it because he was in fear at the time of being suspended from that Super Bowl. Now, he had every opportunity after the Super Bowl to come clean. And like we said, and like it's been said over and over, he did not make it evident. You know what I mean? And therefore, he suffered. So, good luck with that. You know, by the time this thing gets resolved, we probably missed all the games anyway. So, he ought to really reconsider, go ahead and take it, and just get the two games instead of the four, if they're willing to offer that, which I'm pretty sure they possibly might be. So, we'll see. It's my guess that he did know. And Jim Kelly basically stated that, and I think he's on the same path or the same idea as we are. Now, moving forward, we got Floyd Mayweather Jr., and he just signed up for his last fight, and he's fighting against somebody I've never heard of. I think that's enough said, right? It's like, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, I hope nobody cares because this is like, man, come on, man. Really? You should have gave a rematch to Pacquiao, or maybe he's going for a 50th win to break the record. Rocky Marciano? I think he's going to try to break his record and get to 50-0, and maybe he'll make that the Manny Pacquiao fight, or maybe somebody who actually deserves an opportunity. But, I mean, come on, man. Talk a tune-up fight. It's not even serious. It's just a basic way to just make more money. And listen, who cares? And then, you know, I heard him come out basically and said he's got a message for Ronda. He says, I've yet to see an MMA fighter or other boxer make over $300 million in 36 seconds. When she can do that, then call me. Man, shut up. It's like, come on, man. You just talk too much. Every time he opens his mouth, it's the wrong thing. I've never seen anybody just so arrogant and just so annoying to me, man. I don't like him. Okay? Don't come out and say it. He probably is the best at what he does, but so what? Who? At this point, who cares? Oh, I mean, he himself is one of those guys who's basically been known for, you know, domestic violence at the highest level. Won't ever answer questions about it. And then here he goes, he turns around and says something in the same vein, you know what I mean, to justify that. So I don't know, man. I can't trust anything this guy says. And he just really just, his whole aura is just bad. Bad for everybody and especially for myself.
This is the last fight, so that's a good thing. We don't have to hear about him ever again.
I know. It would be great if he could lose, right? I'd be happy with that. I'm not going to lie. I would. I'd be very satisfied with him losing. I thought Pacquiao was going to get the job done, but I don't think he came in prepared to fight him. Because we all knew it was going to end up the same way. Listen, he's a defensive fighter. He's going to play off the rope. He's going to run from you. That's what he does. That's how he plays. That's how he operates. And he just didn't do what he needed to do in that fight. So, needless to say, that was the result. And that's basically why we're even here having this conversation. Right, Lou? That's crazy.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. You know, always talking about how much money. Man, nobody, I don't care. I'm not making the money. I don't care about your money. like people really care about his money and how much he makes. We just want to see a good fight. We don't want to see you win or want to see you lose. We don't care what happens after that. Unless you're going to share it with us. Which you know you're... No, he's not going to do.
He's going to keep spending his money on more and more punching bags with women's faces on it.
Yeah, basically. Maybe he might actually lose to Rousey. You know what I mean? Because, he's not going to lose to her, but I wish he would, right? At least he'd have the best chance. Then again, I don't know. You're talking about a man. You know what I mean? Then he's a professional boxer facing, you know, I just, listen, they got to stop. There might not be another woman out there that can challenge her, but come on. You know, nobody wants to see that, especially me. And, but then if she was to get him low, put him one of them arm bars and snap his wrist or his shoulder out of socket, that'd be fun to watch. But I just don't see that happening. You know, that's typically the case when it comes to that. So you know, I would say I had a this slide into the NBA. Heard like the Cavs and the Warriors are going to meet on Christmas. That's going to be the Christmas Day matchup. What do you think about that, Lou?
Snore.
Huh!
I mean, seriously, it's this is another, you know, cash-in situation by the NBA. I've really been over the special, you know, holiday games because they don't mean anything. It's just another game.
Yeah,
just another game, and you're not gonna have the same players from last year. So, like, what's even the point? It's like they trying to create a rivalry, but at the same time, the NBA doesn't want a rivalry. So, it's like, why you even do this to begin with?
Yeah, you know, that's crazy. That is what it is. To be quite honest, you know. You know, every Christmas they gotta have some kind of matchup. It's usually the final matchup the year before, in most cases. At least one of them is, and the other one is like, you know, a real rivalry. Maybe, I don't know, Houston, the Clippers, or something like that, or even who else? Maybe San Antonio and the Clippers, or San Antonio and, you know, something like that.
And plus, what would happen if one of the star players on one of those teams get hurt and can't play in the Christmas game? That has happened before quite a few times.
Yeah, you know, really. Especially in this league, like, these players are made out of China. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's interesting. You know, that's what they do. The schedule is the schedule, right? So, you know, that's primarily what's going on there. I know that the situation here with Kobe Bryant, I guess he stated that the Lakers would absolutely make the playoffs or can make the playoffs. And listen, you know, I understand what Kobe's trying to say, but no, this is not going to happen. You look at that division and...
I know exactly what this guy is doing.
Yeah.
Oh, he got on
up his.
He got on the troll face.
Oh, okay. I got
that's
you.
What he's doing.
Yeah, you
doesn't
think it's all?
Yeah, he's trolling. Put on the little white crooked smile troll face. Because remember, you also said this could possibly, he's leaning closer to this being his last season. So it'll confirm everything after the season's over. But I think this probably will be.
Yeah, this will be his last season. I couldn't really see them re-signing him. And if they did, it'd probably be for like a real minimum. And it's like, who are you going to bring in there to fit? If he's there, you can't bring anybody else there. So.
Well, they're not going to re-sign him because they've stated like a month or two ago that he will not be a Laker anymore after this contract.
Yeah. It can't, you know. He's probably going to be somewhere else if he decides to be, or maybe he retires. You know, who knows? I would love to see him go to Chicago and teach him how to play. But I'm a Bulls fan, so I'll say whatever to see my team win because I know they can't win with the other guy, so. You know what I mean? I remember what I see. So, what do you think there, my man?
Yeah, I think, you know, to make the troll statement that he did, you know, there is a possibility that they could make it. And here's what would happen. for the Lakers to make it, Kevin Durant will have to get hurt again for the season. Anthony Davis will have to miss at least 40 games going into this season. Blake Griffin missed 30 games for this season. You see where I'm going with this? Pretty much everybody in the West has to be hurt at least half the season for the Lakers to even have a chance.
Let me tell you something. I'm saying even if they were, they still don't have a chance. And I'm going to say like this. The reality is that guy, Kobe Bryant, has been injured over the past 2 out of 3 seasons. He's getting older, doesn't have the same lift, doesn't have the same stamina. Listen, you're going to be burnt out, my friend. You need to go ahead and stop making news and just, well, who am I to tell him? He got his 5 championships. So actually, you know what? I'm not going to say that, Lou. I'll take it back. I'll take it back. I'll eat those. I really will. So, yeah, you know, I had to think about it for a second. It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen, man. It really wouldn't. Because he's Kobe Bryant, and you just look at that. And the Western Conference is a sick-looking conference. Like every year, you know, I know we kind of expect it to get better and better. So, crazy.
Yeah. Also, I see the Cavs have picked up Richard Jefferson for a couple of years.
That was a good pick. Good slasher to the basket. I expect them to be a whole lot better when they get in. You know what I mean? I expect them to kind of show out. Oh, what's that? I got a flat bean trying to call. I just realized it. Hello?
Yeah, Leonard Magic, best team. Leonard Magic, best team in the NBA.
Yeah, you know,
hang up the phone,
the thing is, when people call in, you can tell when they're telling the truth and whether they're lying or not. And, you know, he's lying. He doesn't believe anything.
Well, you know, I don't believe it. Magic and my team. But
yes, you do. You believe
We are sick. We don't have any super. You know what? Maybe Kobe Bryant will come to Orlando. It's a nice retirement state. You know, we good at getting old players and make them superstars again, you know. Grant Hill, you know.
No, he wasn't a his star actually got bad or worse when he went there. Everybody gets worse when they go to Orlando, but then when people leave, they get better. So that's usually the case. I would say that his years with Orlando was his worst years, and even when he went to Phoenix, he was better there than he was in Orlando. But nevertheless, I don't need to spend, conversation on a non-relevant team anyway. But I did tell you and give you a promise that they'll probably win over 30 wins this season. They'll be a little bit better. That's about it. I don't see them going anywhere else. But
because of the coach or because of the player?
Listen, they're just not good. That's just really the balance, you know, the in and out of that. They're just really not that good. And I look at the division. I'm going to look at it right now. I'm going to tell you which teams I would pick over Orlando. Would I pick Atlanta? Yes, I would. Cleveland? Yes. Chicago? Yes. Toronto? Yes. Washington? Yes. Bucks? Yes. Boston? Yes. And, yes, the Nets and the Heat and Charlotte. Yeah. And you know what? Even that ex-coach that used to coach Charlotte, I pick his team too, the Pistons. And you know what Porzingis and what New York is doing? They might actually beat out Orlando too. So I don't see Orlando. They probably win like 31, 32 games next season. Better than what they did last season, which was 25. So that's 6 games up, my friend. You ought to be happy about it. But other than that, it's really lost cause.
I'm going to ask y'all a question. Do you think Cleveland should have took back J.R. Smith? I think they should have let him go. Or do you think he'd be better coming off the bench?
He does come off the
bench. I would have let him go. Yeah, I would have let him go. He had his moments, and I'm guessing that's what saved him. He had his moments, and he might have settled for, like, less money. I'm not necessarily sure. I know you got Jefferson. Who else did they get? They got David. No, they didn't get. What did Cleveland get? They got somebody else. Tristan Thompson, did he re-sign, Lou?
I still haven't heard any word about that. Everybody else has signed back to him.
But him, which is crazy. Like, there's no way. But I know they're thinking they got Moss off and they got Varejao coming back off injury. But it's like, listen, I would take that Tristan over Varejao, to be quite honest. But I don't know what he's going to look like. But anyway, I don't think that was a bad decision. I think that was a good decision to the strength that, okay, you have familiarity. He came in halfway through the season. The results were the finals. It was a good pick with him and Shumpert. I mean, he can't be J.R. Smith, but if there's anybody under control that can keep him at bay, it would be definitely LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. So I look at that team, and then you also got Love. That's the obvious favorite in the Eastern Conference, and they'll dominate between them. I think the Heat will be a little bit better. I definitely know that Atlanta will be better. And, you know, Washington and the rest of those teams, they'll be a little bit better too. So no chance for the Magic. Too bad there, Bean. Lou, did you want to add anything else here? Because I was about to go to the NFL and the Hall of Fame once you had went ahead and asked, actually bring in something. NBA, if there's anything else that you'd like to bring in.
Well, as you spoke of the Knicks, they did sign a couple of players. They signed Sasha Vujacic, so he's back in the league, unfortunately.
Well, I tell you, Phil, I don't know what he's doing.
And they picked up Giannis' brother from the D-League.
I don't know. How'd he look?
I can't really say because I haven't seen his team play at all this year. But you know, he's basically kind of the same as Giannis. He's shorter. He's a guard. He has arms, I think, probably just as long as Giannis. But he is very athletic. So, I don't know. He does play a little better defense. I've seen him in like exhibition games, so he does play some decent defense. So that also is an advantage with his length as far as his arms go. So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see, because I'm gonna make a prediction right here, right now. If this doesn't turn pretty, then Phil is gone. Along with Fisher, both of them. On the way out.
Who's gone?
You know, without the
You think they gotta get rid of Phil
game.
Jackson?
Absolutely. He's done. He's
wow.
done. If he doesn't get results this season, he's out of there. Without question.
Boy, the team didn't get rid of Phil Jackson. Wow.
Well, I mean.
But why would that be a surprise? He's a GM. He's not coaching.
Yeah, well, you know.
Right.
And
you know,
when he got there, the whole organization got worse as soon as he got there.
Yeah, it did. I mean, there was just 2 years ago, they was in the playoffs. Here they go again. They come in, you know, there was a little bit worse. I mean, they pretty much gave up on Woodson, which lets me know that's just also players. And listen, your superstar, nobody wants to play with your superstar, really. I think he's really the main problem. Nobody wants to play with Carmelo Anthony. I'm sorry, I said it.
So he's another AI.
Overrated. Overrated.
Another
no, I don't
AI,
think
huh?
he's that good. I don't think he's that good. I wouldn't. I think AI is better than him because
wow.
he plays defense. Yeah, there's no wow in it. Allen Iverson is better than Carmelo Anthony, in my opinion. What about
yeah,
you, Lou? It's to me, he plays better defense, and he was more of a threat that you could not stop. And he was like half his size. He was 6'1". 6'1", 6'2", you couldn't stop Iverson. He'd be in the hole with the rest of the people taking punishment like a big man. And then on top of that, he would just be on, he'd be that intense on both sides of the court. So, yeah, you know, in my opinion, I don't even think Carmelo makes my top 50, to be quite honest with you. I would find 50 players better than him. I'm just being honest. That's my honest
opinion. Is Derrick Rose better than him?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Wow.
You know what? No, he's not. Let me stop. Let me say this. If it was Derrick Rose before the injury, Derrick Rose before the injury is better than Carmelo Anthony, in my opinion. But since the injury, they basically become the same player. So it's almost like it's a balance to me. Because let me tell you this, Lou. Let's think about this for a minute, Mark. Do you think with Derrick Rose being on the Knicks that they would lose as many games as they did last year? Think about this for a second. How many times has Derrick Rose advanced in the playoffs? How many times has Carmelo advanced in the playoffs? One time for Carmelo. Am I right? So that's it. And every team he's been with, he's only advanced – I'm sorry, he's advanced twice in his career because they did advance when he was in Denver. Right, they got
when
past
Iverson
the first round.
There.
Oh, look at that. All right, so he's gotten there twice, but you look at the Chicago Bulls, and, of course, they played better without Rose, but when Rose was healthy and when he had the mindset to play without pause or without restriction, the Bulls would make it all the way to the conference finals. They would win a whole plethora of games. When he's there, they do win a lot of games as well. So it's like he is, in my opinion, I can make an argument that he's better than Carmelo as an overall player. He just doesn't score as much. That's the thing. People get persuaded by what you do because you put the ball in the hole. But that doesn't necessarily make you better. You might put the ball in the hole, but it doesn't mean you're better. A lot of scores. So,
right.
That's primarily what I see from him. But I want to get into the NFL real quick and get into this Hall of Fame situation.
Oh, Dolphins all the way. Dolphins all the way.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, wanted to go ahead and bring up the Hall of Fame, guys that made Hall of Fame. And it starts off with the bus. You got the bus, you got Charles Haley, you got Junior Seau. I think you got Ron Wolf, and you also got Bill Polian. Those two are big-time GMs. And there's one more player there that I'm missing that I can't think of. It'll come to me a little bit later, I guess. I don't know. Can't find a list. But nevertheless, finally, Jerome Bettis makes the Hall of Fame. Good pick, bad pick. What do you think? Oh, Tim Brown is the other guy. This is what I usually – a good pick, right? You know what I usually figure out, man? That people that usually have a nickname usually are great players, right? There's not too many people in professional sports that get a nickname. So when you do get a nickname, chances are you're probably going to be somebody pretty special, I would say, for the most part, right? In basketball, you have your nicknames. In football, you have your nicknames. And all of those players make the Hall of Fame. So it makes sense, definitely, for Jerome Bettis and the bus to make it. And, of course, Tim Brown, listen, big-time wide receiver out of Notre Dame, played with the Raiders his entire career. I don't think it's – I think it's the last couple of years, or I don't know if he retired or Raider, but come on, he broke all those records. He's like third or fourth on an all-time receiving list. Yeah, he's going to make it. He's going to deserve it. Charles Haley, this might be a little bit further for most people, but Charles Haley was with those 49ers team when they was winning all those Super Bowls, and that defense with Ronnie Lott, he was on the line causing havoc. Left San Francisco, went to Dallas, and won a Super Bowl there. That was a difference maker on that defense along with Deion Sanders when he left. So Charles Haley, big-time disruptor, big personality. Yes, he makes the Hall of Fame. I think nobody's going to debate that. Junior Seau, what can we say, right? He never really won a Super Bowl. He did get on that Patriots team, had an opportunity when it was 18-0 to end up losing to the Giants. But come on, who played that position with that much intensity? I mean, you could probably say Ray Lewis, right? We know the best linebacker probably all time is probably Lawrence Taylor. But, you know, listen, Seau brought a different type of intensity to the game. And, of course, everybody knows that he basically passed away due to what is that head injury stuff they were saying?
The head injury, I forgot what it's called.
I forgot what that's called too. And you know, basically, it dealt with him and caused him to, I think it's CTI or something like that. But
yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. I know when I hear it. That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
So you know, he had that, and then it turned around, and I guess he got depressed and ended up killing himself because he had it. It was a severe type of a concussion. And over time, when you have so many concussions, you begin to have, you know, mood swings and changes due to the side effects of it. So it's sad, you know, and I think his daughter, they found the NFL did a classy thing, and they're going to allow the daughter to go ahead and speak on his behalf, and that's a good thing. I think that makes him look a little bit better than what they have been looking like over the past few months or year, be quite honest. So that was a good move on that.
But do you think the NFL doing enough for those guys for those head injuries? Is it more that they can do to protect them?
Well, I think they're doing enough. To be quite honest, they're doing enough because I'm gonna tell you like this. It's just like anything else. You sign up for something knowing what the situation is. See, this is the problem that I have. Okay, everybody knows that you're playing a physical sport. You're going to get hit by people bigger than you, by people smaller than you. They're going to come at you, going 25 to 15 miles an hour. Whether you're looking or not looking, you're going to get hit. That is a big time body, 250. Or let's just go like this, from 180 to 250 to 300-pound men slamming into one another. That's why they wear helmets and pads. There's a possibility that you're going to get some kind of damage. You know that going into this because you signed up for it. You sacrifice your health and your body. You sacrifice it for the millions of dollars that are offered to you on a contract. So for those to come back out now and say, hey, you know what? I want you to feel sorry for me. And, you know, people will say that's somewhat harsh, but listen, the reality is this is a physical game. Don't tell me you didn't know it was physical. Come on now. You think that if they had the opportunity to make the NFL again from back in the day that they wouldn't take the same opportunity? You know, and I know that they all would. Of course they would, because they're playing a game they love, and then they're getting paid for it. And then getting paid for it leads to advertising dollars, which is more money. And that also leads to a certain kind of lifestyle, which is called cars and girls and women and house and some more success. You get what I'm saying? It wasn't a problem then. 20 years later, I get headaches now. Okay, yes, we know. Duh, we are going to get headaches. It's going to happen. Should they have something in place to where they can have a good pension to cover some of the injuries? Yeah, but you know what? That's why you have life insurance, and it's up to you to sign up for it. Just like anybody
that's
else.
That's why I call you the machine gun. You don't hold back.
I try to tell the truth. It's the truth. That's what you have a players union for. You have a union for there to look out for your players, your fellow players. You can't just sit there and just allow, you know, stuff to happen and expect everything just going to be handed over to them. Like, okay, this is, we don't have to do anything. They're going to just give us what we want. No, that's not how a union works.
And you collectively bargain, you know, the rules and situations to help you out. And nevertheless, you know, a lot of these guys, when they was in their heyday, you would see it like Jim McMahon, him and his shades and his headband, right? Making videos, having a tie-dye shirt, saying he's a rebel. Yeah, he was doing a good time. 10 women lined up, he could pick any one of them. He was living a high life then, wasn't he? All of a sudden, 10 years later, I forgot my shirt. I think I need to sit down. Yeah, that's what happened. You didn't say it back then because you was young, you was taking it. And see, you was making those millions of dollars and it was okay. And it's great because I was benefiting. Now I'm out of the game. Now I probably wasted and parted away all my money. Let me get and sue the NFL for more money to compensate. And we're going to put it on my concussions and say, hey, yeah, I got concussions because I played football. Yeah, you probably got them when you was making that money about 20 years ago, but you didn't care, right? Because you was living the high life. And see, that's the difference. Now you can't live the high life because you don't look as good. You don't have the same kind of money. Yeah, every time you try to talk, it sounds like you're drinking water. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. And I know that's kind of harsh, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And that's the thing. People don't want to deal with the truth. This is a society that never wants to take responsibility for anything they choose. No, you chose it. This is the way it is. You have to live with it. That's what we call in this world. We call that life. You loved it back then. You better love it now. See? Those are the rules. So we see that. And that's pretty much the situation there. With that, and then of course you do, like I did mention, you do have the two GMs and Ron Wolf and Bill Polian, because of course we all know about Polian because he's the most recent one that brought in Peyton Manning, took him over Ryan Leaf, turned organizations around from the Buffalo Bills to the Indianapolis Colts, big time analyst on ESPN. The guy's just, you know, sometimes people are geniuses at what they do. You get what I'm saying? It's like some people go out and they do a job so well. They do it better than anybody else. See, those two guys are that kind of situation. You know, Brett Favre got traded from Atlanta. They didn't want to, Atlanta didn't see anything in Brett Favre. They let him go all the way over to up there in Green Bay, and look what happened. It's like now he's a Hall of Famer, has all the passing records and yardage records. I mean, it's not a mistake, and it's not, you know, we know, and I think Peyton Manning, by the time he's finished, he's going to have all the records. But look, those are the two GMs right there, right? One responsible for Peyton Manning, the other one responsible for Brett Favre. There you have it. Yeah, just that alone and those decisions alone puts those guys in the Hall of Fame. And that's necessarily what they do, rebuild team. When you're so good at what you do, people notice, and then you have much success. That's why you have people that start businesses. You call those, what do you call those people, consultants, right? Business consultants, they can come into your business, shape it up, give you advice, and then all of a sudden your business starts to generate money, makes the income, makes you a genius because you're good at what you do. It's the same thing in professional sports. You have GMs in NBA, you have GMs in professional football, and of course you have them in baseball. And the ones that are very good at what they do, man, say no more. They become successful, and it's like, wow, that's money, that's power. And those people deserve it. Also, what I just noticed looking at the ticker tape here, it just said Lee Corso just turned 80 years old. Man, that's impressive. I didn't even know he was that old. And you know what's all kind of messed up about it, Lou? Is that you know it's getting close, right? It's getting close. And he's the one that basically, when you see on college football, he puts on the headgear of the mascot. One of the funniest guys I've ever seen on the show. Because basically, he could fool you. He'll pick a team. Oh, look at the beautiful helmet. Then he'll just toss it to the side and say, yeah, I picked this team. And he's notorious, you know, for making those kind of picks. Boy, it's like he's entertaining. But I've been noticing over the years that he's being older, that, you know, it's getting tougher. You know what I'm saying? So 80 years old, that's like a pretty long life. Let's pray that he lives for at least another 5 to 10. I imagine within the next 3 or 4, he'll be out of there. And you know, he also got Lou Holtz. He's getting up there too. And eventually I think he's going to be gone. I don't know who they're going to get to replace his personality, boy, but it's like, man, you know, that's pretty much the case.
Don't give him the gun no more, please.
Yeah, I would. Any lasting topic here? for the
hey,
last
I got a question. I can't think of his name. I don't know why, but going back to the NBA, do y'all think Lou, homeboy from Boston, is coming back? I can't think of his name, the three-point star. I heard rumors that he might try to come back to the game.
Come on, Ray Allen.
Ray Allen,
there you go. Yeah, do you think he's going to come out of retirement?
No,
I don't know,
but
I heard he might try to go to Cavaliers.
I would have thought he would have did that last year. You know, and let me tell you something, Lou. If he would have came, if he was on that roster instead of J.R. Smith, I think they win. just going to tell you that right now. If he
at 40
if
years
on
old?
The roster, at, it doesn't matter. He can pay till he's 50.
You can shoot till you're 100 years old.
Ain't the dude off the Spurs, ain't he 39, 40? How old he is?
Tim Duncan? Yeah, I think he's 39.
Yeah.
But see, this is what you got to look at. See, Ray Allen is not your typical 40-year-old. See, sometimes
right.
you have people that are 40 and they look like they're 87. And then
mm-hmm.
you got some of these other guys that are actually 40 and they look like they're about 29. And he's one of those guys. He keeps himself in
exactly.
great condition. He moves well, and his shot is just impeccable. You saw what he did in Miami the last time we seen him, and he was the reason why they was even in the series in the first place. Trust me, what he brings to the table, had he been on the roster with Cleveland this playoffs, I think they would have won.
Can we see some coaching for him? Coaching?
For who? Talking about Cleveland?
Ray Allen. Can we see some coaching?
Nah.
Maybe. I can see that, Lou. Not immediately coaching. Maybe about 3 or 4 years, or maybe analysis because he speaks well. So he does well in front of a camera. He could talk. He could probably be a commentator. I can see that.
He'll be back making movies.
I don't think he has the movie thing. I don't think he has the movie thing.
LeBron James did good.
Oh, but come on, man. Listen, LeBron James is in the prime of his life. He's younger. He's a known icon. It's like saying, well, Michael Jordan won't get a role. You know what I mean? If he wants to act, he can act. But Ray Allen is a really great Hall of Fame basketball player, but he doesn't have the cachet that a LeBron James will have. At least not in that world anyway. Only with Spike Lee. Spike Lee will sign him up for a movie and make a part two, but that'll be about it. Nobody else, not to say they wouldn't sign him, but it wouldn't be as luxurious as LeBron James. Right now, LeBron could be the worst actor. Now, I know the movie they're talking about because I saw it, and it was terrible to me. Not the movie, his acting,
well,
that is. Oh.
Wow.
So, he didn't act that well at all to me. Because, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If I can look at you, this is the thing, and this is true. I don't know. For people that don't know really how to act, why is it that they always
right.
elevate their voice? Why they elevate it almost like saying, I am going to the bathroom. What? Did you say that?
Right.
I know that I am the smartest one in the room. It's like, why did they not do
that
going?
What movie that was?
It was a comedy, and he did have a role, but it's almost like, I don't know. I know acting is a craft. It's something that you have to almost, you know, fall into character and relax. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be uptight and you can't seem like you have to push it. You just fall right into the pocket and be normal. You'd be like, you know, talk normal. This happened. That happened. Why did you do that? You know, I wanted to go to the bathroom, but it did not work out. But it's because people, when they do that, they elevate your voice.
That shotgun, Lou. See how this guy is? He don't hold back. See how this guy is?
Am I telling the truth? The thing is am I telling the truth? And you know, that's the thing. People go out and they like to tell you the lie. But the truth is the truth. It's like every time you notice, and I challenge you to watch this. Look at any, whether it be Shaquille O'Neal, whether it be any celebrity athlete, when they try to be an actor and they're terrible at acting, look how they act. They always heighten their voice, the bad ones. And it's always like, okay, on this scene, we want you to say that, you know, you're about to rob the store. Hey, over there, I'm going to rob the store. That's what they do. And it's like, man, why are you just not just talking normal? Because, you know, the best actors always fall into character. Like, I'm going to tell you what's scary, but I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. Is with, you know, you look at, like, somebody like Tom Cruise or Denzel Washington. And it's like, bro, they're so good, you don't even know who the real person is, right? Like, you look at
right.
Tom, have you ever seen Tom Cruise in an interview? And it's like, damn, is he acting? That's what you're thinking to yourself, because when you watch him on a television show, you're like, man, he. But see, that's how good he is. And even when you look at Denzel Washington, he's so good. You listen to him, he's like down to earth. But then when you see him, it's like, man, is he really genuinely this cool? Is he that? You know what I'm saying? And well, I tell you, it always turns out to be that way, man. And that's typically what you see. And you know, if you're great at something, basically people are gonna be able to. It's like you do it effortlessly, and it comes very natural. So it's when you talk, you're just real smooth with it. Say, yeah, okay, I'm going over here, I'm going over there. All right, I'm gonna get this. Okay, what are you doing? How you doing? What's your name? What kind of car you drive? You know, it comes smooth. But see, you know, elevating of the voice, man, it's crazy.
But you see, the funny thing about it, especially most of the athletes, they do that. But the only time they do that is when they're doing their commercials, you know, for their apparel or for like a shoe commercial. But as soon as they get into like a movie role or even a small part on television, it's like they completely change. Like, why?
You know,
why does that happen?
I don't know. Out of this new generation, I saw Anthony Davis in that commercial and it was terrible. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I watched it and I'm like, man, all you got to do is be yourself. You not even got to act. You just got to be yourself. And it's like, I know when I'm watching him on television balling, I see a difference in what I just saw in that commercial. But I tell you what, Lou, all right, now we run out of time, so we got to go ahead and let it go. We'll catch him on Monday at 8 o'clock again, and we'll have some more topics to come bring to the table and more news, more sports entertainment. So with that said, my man Lou, I'm your host Marlon. This is Sports Lounge. Peace. Check it out. We'll catch you Monday. Have a great weekend.
I'm feeling it. Feel the glass in the top of my way. Feel the legs pushing up on the stairs. Feel the high that you get from the light. If you feel it.